Chapter 4, The Execution That Waited. By morning, Saar had been dead for 5 years and inconvenient for 6 hours. That was the first thing the new officials decided about her. They did not say it directly. Officials rarely said the true sentence first. They gave it furniture. They brought a chair into the old prison yard and called it accommodation. They brought water in a sealed cup and called it care. They brought a physician who did not touch her and called it examination. Then they brought 3 witnesses, 2 guards, and a woman wearing the pale shoulder cloth of the Provisional Memory Council. That was when Saar understood that the execution had not ended. It had changed rooms. The prison yard had once been black stone from gate to wall. The state had liked black stone. It made suffering look intentional. Now the yard was cracked open with grass and rootwork. The far wall had collapsed inward where rain had found weakness and made an argument for years. Vines climbed the observation posts. Someone had removed the old hanging banners, but the brackets remained, rusted half moons bolted into the stone. People had gathered beyond the temporary barrier. Too many people. Some came to stare, some came to pray. Some came because the restored had appeared everywhere before dawn, and rumor had grown faster than law. They stood in the street outside the prison shell with their faces lifted toward the yard, whispering names that did not belong to Saar. Returned. Omen, false dead, witness, weapon. The words moved through the crowd like insects under bark. Saar sat in the brought chair because standing made the guards nervous, and making guards nervous had once been expensive. Her wrist still remembered bindings. There were no bindings now. That made her hands feel more exposed, not less. The chair legs grated whenever she shifted her weight, metal feet worrying at old stone. The sealed water cup sat untouched near her left knee, gathering dust along its rim. The woman from the council unfolded a thin slate and looked at it instead of Saar. "State your designation." Saar looked at the crowd. Someone had climbed the low remains of the outer wall. A boy, maybe 12 or 13 standard years, old enough to understand danger and young enough to trust height. He had painted a white line across his brow, the sign mourning families used when they carried a name to the public archive. When he saw Saar looking at him, he pressed both hands over his mouth. "State your designation," the councilwoman repeated. "Designation, not name." Saar turned back. "Saar Venn." The woman made a mark on the slate. "That is a provisional designation assigned during processing. It is what I answer to. It is not a completed civic name. No. You understand that your right of becoming was not completed before your sentence." Saar almost smiled. "I understood that when you interrupted it with chains." One of the guards shifted. Saar's tongue stuck briefly to the roof of her mouth. She looked at the sealed cup and did not reach for it. The councilwoman's face did not change. She had a good official face. Saar respected it in the abstract. Good official faces were expensive to grow. They required a childhood spent learning which griefs could be ignored in public. "The previous regime issued the sentence," the woman said. "The Provisional Council is reviewing all extraordinary cases." "Extraordinary," Saar said. "You were legally dead." "I was legally murdered." The crowd heard that. Saar felt the sound move through them. The young guard near the barrier looked down. He was the same one who had raised a weapon yesterday and lowered it in shame. In daylight, he looked even younger. His uniform hung as if borrowed from an older sibling. Someone had given him a rifle and a legal vocabulary and expected the two to make a person. "The council has not affirmed that language," the woman said. "Of course not. Saar Venn. Provisionally." That did make the woman look up. "Good. You should be careful," she said. It was not a threat exactly. That made it worse. Threats announced themselves. Warnings could be dressed as kindness. Saar leaned back in the chair. The sun had moved high enough to reach the broken cell block behind the councilwoman's shoulder. Light entered the place where Saar had returned and made the ruined corridor look almost gentle. The same light lay across Saar's bare feet. Dust had dried between her toes. Yesterday, on the execution field, she had worn state sandals with numbered straps. Today, the soles of her feet touched the yard directly, as if the ground itself had been asked to testify. "I was careful," Saar said. I testified carefully. I named the extraction deaths carefully. I refused to recant carefully. I walked to the field carefully. Your recorders captured all of it. The councilwoman held still. Then the universe did something careless, Saar said, and now everyone wishes to examine my manners. A sound came from the crowd, not laughter, not quite. The councilwoman closed the slate. The crowd believes you are a sign. The state believes I am a problem. Both may be true. There it was. Saar felt the old sentence behind the new words. Not death, not yet. Something more useful than death. Containment. Interpretation. A body placed behind glass so that the living could argue what it meant. She looked at the crowd again. A woman knelt in the street with both palms pressed to the dirt. Another held up a strip of cloth with a name written on it. A man near the back shouted that the old judges should be dragged out and made to watch. Someone else shouted that Saar was corruption, wearing a survivor's skin. All of them wanted something from her. Proof, revenge, absolution, permission to be afraid. The councilwoman followed Saar's gaze. If you speak to them, people may die. If I do not, will they live? No answer. Saar stood. The chair scraped backward across the stone. The guards lifted their rifles halfway. The young one did not. Saar noticed. So did he. Sit down, the councilwoman said. No. The word felt small and perfect. She walked toward the barrier. Every official in the yard began speaking at once. Saar Venn. Stop. For your safety. For public order. For review. She kept walking. No one shot her. That too was information. The crowd quieted as she approached. Silence did not fall all at once. It retreated person by person, like water pulling from stone. Saar stopped with the barrier between herself and the street. The boy on the wall lowered his hands. Up close, the white mourning line across his brow was uneven. He had painted it himself. Do you carry them? He asked. His voice broke on the last word. Saar knew what he meant. Names were supposed to return at death. A name told truthfully entered the collective memory, where family and witness and enemy could not alter it without being altered in return. That was what her people said. That was what they built their rights around. That was what the state had used when it decided whose names were worth returning and whose could be filed as loss, unrest, accident, contamination. The extraction site had been full of unreturned names. Saar had tried to say them. That was why she had been brought to the field. I carry my own, Saar said. The boy's face folded. He had wanted a miracle. Saar let the disappointment happen. She would not become kinder by lying. Then the water sound came. Not water in the street, not water in the broken drains or the old prison gutters. The sound came from beneath the silence, the same impossible tide she had heard when she stepped into sunlight after returning. Black water, orange horizon. A name touched the back of her tongue. Not hers. She swallowed it. Another rose, then another. For a moment the crowd blurred. The prison wall became another wall, lower, built of salvage plates around a pit in red stone. The air tasted of dust and metal. Someone's ribs hurt. Someone small was trying to breathe where there was no room left to breathe. Ovek, Saar did not know the name. She knew it anyway. Her hand tightened around the barrier. The young guard took one step forward. Are you ill? Saar blinked. The prison returned. The crowd returned. The boy on the wall stared at her. She had almost answered to a name from a death that was not hers, so this was the cost, not power, a wound finding language. The councilwoman had come up behind her. Saar could hear her breathing. You see, the woman said softly, you are not stable enough to address them. Saar turned. I am stable enough to be useful to you. The woman did not deny it. At the far edge of the street, something flickered above the crowd. A smuggled projector. Old technology, bad resolution, illegal in three boring ways. Someone had linked it to an off-world feed and thrown the image against the pale wall of a closed records office. Static tore through the picture. Voices overlapped in a trade language Saar knew poorly. At first the image showed only a dark room full of returned people sitting on the floor. Then a hand lifted a sheet of paper toward the recorder. On it, drawn in charcoal or ash, was a black line of water and a flat orange sky. The crowd saw it. The official saw it. Saar saw it. The same horizon from the dream, the same shore with no sun. The projection jumped, another image, different species, different world, another drawing, black water, orange line, another. The councilwoman whispered a word Saar had never heard from an official mouth. Fear made it honest. Saar looked at the images until the crowd noise became distant. She had wanted proof she was not cursed. This was not proof, this was scale. Scale was colder. The boy on the wall called out again. What are you? The old answer waited. Prisoner, witness, omen, dead woman, returned thing, legal remainder. Saar looked at the councilwoman, at the guards, at the crowd, at the smuggled horizon trembling on the wall. Then she stepped over the barrier. People moved back, not enough to make a path, enough to admit she was coming through. I am not your sign, Saar said. Her voice did not carry to everyone, so the nearest repeated it. Then the next. I am not your sign. The words crossed the street in pieces, changed by mouths, but not enough to become something else. The councilwoman called for the guards. The young guard did not move. Saar stopped in front of the boy. He climbed down from the wall because she looked at him until he understood that no one should speak to her from above. When his feet touched the ground, he held out the strip of cloth he had been carrying. There was a name written on it in uneven morning ink. My sister, he said. Saar did not take it. Not yet. Say it, she told him. He flinched. Say her name yourself. The boy looked terrified. Good, names were not decorations. They were not offerings to the nearest impossible woman. His mouth trembled. Nara Voss, he said. The name came out thin and shaking. But it came out. The crowd heard. Some lowered their heads. Some repeated it. Nara Voss. Nara Voss, Nara Voss. Saar felt the disputed pressure inside her chest ease by the width of a thread. Not gone. Never gone. But altered. The dead did not need her to become a vessel. They needed witnesses who would not surrender their own mouths. The councilwoman reached her at last, breathless with restraint. You cannot simply walk out. Saar looked toward the smuggled projection where the orange horizon burned and broke and burned again. Then write another sentence. You have no completed civic name. You have no legal status. Saar turned back. For the first time since returning, the old fear did not answer first. Then you will have to speak to me as Saar. That is provisional. So is your counsel. The young guard made a sound like he had swallowed a laugh and regretted it immediately. Saar did not smile. Not yet. She had not escaped. She had not been absolved. She had not learned what had pulled her from the field, or why the horizon waited in sleep, or why another being's name had risen in her mouth like a memory. But the execution had waited 5 years to finish. It could wait longer. Saar walked into the crowd, not as omen, not as weapon, not as returned evidence. Behind her, on the wall, the orange horizon trembled in stolen light. Ahead of her, the boy said his sister's name again. This time, he did not need help.